Good morning. Today's daf in Irvin Nun Aleph. We are on the bottom of Nun Amud Beis at the two dots. We're beginning where the Gemara is quoting a good chunk of the Mishnah. Let's go back to the Mishnah. We already spent one day discussing this Mishnah. We're going to be spending now a second day discussing this Mishnah. The Mishnah presented a scenario where a person's walking home. It's Erev Shabbos. He's walking home and he's far away from home, 4,000 amos from home. So as things are currently looking right now, he's not going to make it, meaning as his banish marshal appears. Approaches, so he's going to be Kona Makam Shvisa during the Banish Mashas period, and being that he's not home and 4,000 amas away from home, so his Makam Shvisa, as it currently stands right now, is going to be his current location, but that of course means that he's going to make it only 2,000 amas in order to walk from that point going forward, and he's not going to make it home. So what the Mishnah taught us is something very innovative, and that is that a person can forward his Makam Shvisa. He sees a landmark ahead of him, 2,000 amas, halfway between where he is and his house. So a person can take his Makam Shvisa and throw it to that landmark. The Mishnah presents such a scenario, and the Mishnah's first point, and the one we discussed yesterday in detail, is that you can only throw your Makam Shvisa to the landmark up ahead, but only if you are specific about where it's going to be. You have to say B'makom Ploni. You have to be very specific about where the Makam Shvisa is. You cannot speak in generalities about the Makam Shvisa being in some general area, but you have to be specific. Presumably the reason why is because, as we learned yesterday, your Makam Shvisa is an area of 4 amos, and so since the Makam Shvisa itself is specific, so you have to be specific when identifying what the Makam Shvisa is going to be. The Mishnah described afterwards that let's say we have a person who doesn't know this particular halacha, or he's just simply he's somebody who is unlearned. I'm sorry, I just repeated myself. The person doesn't know this halacha, or he just simply does not have a specific location to point to. And if you look back at the Mishnah, we're just going to pick it up in the Mishnah, right in the middle, just in terms of reviewing the Mishnah. Im eino makir, back in the Mishnah, on Mem Tes Amud Beis, im eino makir, o sheino baki b'halacha. If the person doesn't recognize a specific location coming up ahead, or he just is unfamiliar with this halacha, v'amar shisasi b'mkomi. And then he makes the following declaration, which is that the Shvisa should be Bimkomi, meaning where I'm currently situated right now, so that should be my Makam Shvisa, meaning he wants to establish some Makam Shvisa because he wants at least the ability to walk 2,000 amos from where he currently is. So Zachalom Mekomo, so Apaimam, Lechol Ruach. And so he's going to be able to receive his Makom 2,000 amos in every direction. And then the Mishnah says, Agulos, Divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, I'm sorry, Divrei Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos, Vechacham Amom Imrabos. And then the Mishnah goes on to describe that when you do have a Makom Shvisa and you do have 2,000 amos in every direction, so are we talking about a radius where basically drawn around you, it's going to be a circle, and so therefore you have a perimeter around you, a circular perimeter around you, or is it going to be a square? And actually that's going to come up a little bit later. In the meantime, however, we're going to go back to our Gemara's discussion. So Amar Shvisa Sibi Kari Malach Mimakom Raglava Adi Karo Apai Mama. I'm now back at the Gemara. Okay, I went a little bit ahead in the Mishnah. I jumped a little bit ahead. We're not there yet. Okay, apologies. Let's start with the Gemara. Amar Rava. Now, in the Mishnah scenario, we talked about moving your Makom Shvisa ahead to the landmark, which is about 2,000 amos for you. Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. V'hu dechi ra'it le'ikaro mate. So it's talking about a scenario where you could have made it to the trunk of the tree by the Beinash Mashas period if you would have run. That means to say as follows. This idea of throwing ahead your Makom Shvisa, so as we already pointed out yesterday, but it's worthwhile repeating, it's a tremendous innovative idea. It's a chiddush. This idea that you're not where you are, your Makom Shvisa is during the Beinash Mashas period. So that's extraordinarily novel. Up until now, in this fourth parak, we've been discussing the idea that you can be ma'arev b'regel, you can establish your makam shvisa where you physically are. You could be ma'arev with beis u'dos, meaning putting your food in that location. But over here, what we're discussing is that you're not there, your food is not there, but you're just simply forwarding your makam shvisa to that location. So, to kind of mitigate the chiddush a little bit, the Rava says all this works, but under the circumstance where if you would run, you would make it to that location by the Banish Mashas period. Right, Rashi writes over here on the top. Only if you were to be running, you would have gotten there. Kodesh Techshach before Gadurk. Hasam Mahanya Amira. Then and only then is your declaration going to help. And now, from there, you can go home and you can go home peacefully. So Amalei Abai, so we're back in the Gemara, and Abai says to Rava, I don't understand. Now you look at the Mishnah, the way the Mishnah sets up the situation, it sounds like it's right around Bein Hashmashos, meaning as you are 4,000 amos away from your home, 2,000 amos away from the tree, it sounds like it's at that point in time it's dark. So the Gemara says, and you're not making it to the tree by nighttime. So the Gemara says, Chashcha lebeiso, avali karishol ila matziazo. So Rava's response is no. What it means is that it's too dark for you to get home. You're not going to make it home by the time it gets dark, but you wouldn't make it to the tree. Okay, so this is Rava's explanation of the Mishnah. And so the only way that you could forward your Makom Shvisa is if we're talking about where you can actually get to that location before it gets dark. Igad Amri now in a slightly different version. Amar Rava Chashkalo, Kimaske Kalikali. Avarai Mati. Okay, in the second version, it comes out essentially the same. It's going to be dark, meaning, but this is now Rava's response to Abaye. It's going to be dark if you were to take your time, meaning if you were to slow down, you wouldn't make it there, meaning to the tree. But the fact that but if you were to run, so you would get it there at that point in time. Now, it seems from either version of Rava's answers, it doesn't mean that you have to run. It just simply means that potentially, since you could run to that place and get there before the Bein Hashmashos period, so it's at that point in time you can forward your Makom Shvisa and acquire the area that's underneath the tree. But you don't actually have to run. That's what it would seem like. The Gemara tells the following story. Rabbi Rav Yosef Avka Azle Be'orcha. So Rabbi and Rav Yosef were traveling. Amalei Rabbi Rav Yosef Teishvi Sasi Tusi Dikla Desvil Achva. So Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, okay, they were in need to forward their Makom Shvisa, like we've just been describing in the Mishnah. And so Maisa Shahaya. So it actually occurred where they need to forward it. They forwarded the tree to, they forwarded their Makom Shvisa to an upcoming tree. It was a deck, it was a palm tree. Svil Achva, Rashi says it was one tree leaning against its neighbor. Okay, twin trees. The Amrila, now another version of the story, Tusi Dikla de Parak Marie Mikarga. The tree in question over here was a tree that produced a lot of fruit. In fact, you could pay your taxes with the amount of fruit that's produced by this one tree. Okay, the tax tree, if you will. Money doesn't grow on tree, but taxes seem to grow on tree. Okay, so Amar Le Lo Yadanale. So Rabbi said this to Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, I'm unfamiliar with the tree. So Amar Le Smochalai. So Rabbi says to Rav Yosef, okay, I know. I'm familiar with the terrain, and I know the upcoming tree. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to make the Makom Shvisa for me. And as long as you rely upon me and establish me to be your shliach, I will do the same thing for you. Ditanya, in fact, we learned it. Meaning, if you go back to yesterday's daf, on the Amud Beis of yesterday's daf, we saw the Braisa. And the Braisa reads, Rabbi Yossi Yomim, Ha Yushlaim Echad Makir, Ve'echad Sheino Makir, Zeh Sheino Makir, Moser Shvisas Ala Makir, Zeh Shemakir Omer, Teh Shvisasi Be'makom Ploni. So you have two people walking, and one is familiar with the way they're going, one is unfamiliar. The one unfamiliar gives over his rights, his ability to make a Makom Shvisa to the one who's familiar, and that would be effective way for both of them to acquire their Makom Shvisa. Now, if you remember yesterday's daf well, so you'll notice a slight discrepancy between yesterday's Braisa and the Braisa as we just quoted it. It's a small discrepancy, but it's significant. And that is, if you look in yesterday's Braisa, the Braisa reads identical to the way that Rabbi just presented it to Rav Yosef, but with one notable difference. And that is, here, it's quoted with an opening of Rabbi Yossi Omer. Rabbi Yossi says, you go back to the Braisa we saw yesterday, it did not say Rabbi Yossi Omer. It was just an anonymous Braisa. And so, Rabbi over here seems to have done a little bit of editing of the Braisa, and he added the words Rabbi Yossi Omer. And the Gemara is going to say something really interesting. Velohi, lo tanalei k'Rabbi Yossi. Truth of the matter is that the Braisa over here, even Rabbi knew that it wasn't Aliba de Rabbi Yossi. Ela ki hecha de lik bolei minei mishum de Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. It just happens to be the stature of Rabbi Yossi. We just learned a couple of days ago in the Klalei Hapsak Gemaras on Memvava Medveis that Rabbi Yossi, in terms of Allah, is going to trump everyone. Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi over Rabbi Shimon. So, and Rabbi Yossi nimuko imo. So the reason, the rationale of the halacha follows the shita of Rabbi Yossi. And as a result of that, as a consequence of that, so what Rabbi did to Rabbi Yossi is that when he presented the price, he presented it b'shem Rabbi Yossi. And so now it sounds much more authoritative. And obviously, it goes without saying, it's very difficult to understand how you could just simply attribute a brisa to a position that you're not sure is the one that actually said it or subscribed to that, just to simply bolster your position. So it sounds a little bit disingenuous. And when in all parts of life, and especially when learning Torah, so you want to be as honest as possible. Okay. So it makes for obviously a really interesting sidebar to our Gemara over here. The idea that you're quoting somebody just to give more weight and authority to that which you're saying. Okay. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Yimeno, Makar Shein Abaki V'chulei. Okay. We're now up to the next part of the Braisa. The Gemara over here is a very general issue, which again, halfway through the Masechta, this is something that could have been asked not at the beginning of the Masechta, because quite frankly, the first two Prakim dealt with the Mavui and the structure of the Mavui, but anywhere from the beginning of the third parakup until now, as long as we've been discussing Erev Tchum and the idea that a person cannot traverse more than 2,000 Amos beyond his point of center, is Makom Shisa. So where does the 2,000 Amos come from? What's the source in the Torah of 2,000 Amos? Now, that's the Gemara's question that's coming up. The obvious issue, which definitely needs addressing and needs clarification, is that we've been assuming up until now that Tchum is a din derabanan. It's rabbinic legislation that you cannot walk more than 2,000 amos outside of your makom shisa on Shabbos. There is a shita that says that Tchum is daraisa, that shita is Rabbi Akiva, which we've touched on a couple of times over here in these two parakim. But outside of that, the consensus majority position is that it's a din derabanan, not a din daraisa. So the Gemara now seeking a source in the Torah to teach us this halacha, so we could use a term like asmachta, meaning that the Gemara over here is not giving us a bona fide source in the Torah, but when the Chachamim legislate, so they like sourcing the legislation to the Torah, connecting the Derabbanan to the Daraisa. Okay, that could be, although to be fair, it does not going to sound like that way in our Gemara. Our Gemara is going to be working with Gzeirah Shavah. In fact, a really intricate Gzeirah Shavah. Okay, it could be still, it's an asmachta. To say it succinctly, it's a din derabanan. The Gemara is going to source it like it's a din daraisa. That's confusing, and I'll just leave it off as that's confusing. So the Gemara says, Hani alapai mama hechem eichel ksivim, where is it written in the Torah? Titanya will enter the Braisa, Shavuish Tachtav, Elo Arba Amo. So the first part of the Braisa we already quoted not so long ago regarding the source of Dalet Amos. The fact that everyone has a Dalet Amos on Shabbos, right? In circumstances where he does not have a Makom Shisa, but in the very base minimum he's given Dalet Amos. So we quoted this Pasuk. Remember how we sourced that a person, Shavu Tachtav, the area that occupies underneath him as he's lying down is going to be a total 4 Amos. We articulated that in one of two ways, how it is that when you lie down, you occupy 4 amos, your 3 amos, that extra amos either for stretching or for moving an item from your feet to your head. Okay. The nafkamina between them was mitzum samos. Hopefully that will ring a bell. We did that just recently in the daf. In the meantime, however, it's the next part of the braisa that we're interested in right now. Ayetzei ishmem kamo elu alpayim ama. The pasuk says a person should not go out from his makom. That's 2,000 amos. Minala, now, how do we get from the Pasuk in Parshas B'Shalach to the idea of 2,000 Amos? So there is no record over there about how far a person is not allowed to go. So Amar of Chis Alamanu Makom Mimakom, Umakom Minisa, Vinisa Minisa, Vinisa Mikvul, Vikvul Mikvul, Vikvul Michutz, Vikhutz Michutz, Tichsivum Adosam, Michutz Eiris, Pas Kedma, Alpayim Ama. For those keeping score, that is Gzeirah Shavah with 6 different words connecting one idea to another. You go through Rashi over here. I'm not going to read the Rashi right now, where Rashi actually, you can imagine, that's what Rashi normally does, sources all the psukim over here along the way to get from the word mikamo to eventually to get to the Are Levim. Are Levim that's set up in Eretz Yisrael. The Torah is very specific in terms of the way the city is set up, even in terms of linear measurement. And as part of it, the exterior of the Are Levim is going to be comprised of 2,000 amos. And so getting from point A to point, well, it's not really point B, but to get from where we began to where we ended, so the Gemara goes over multiple gzeirah shavas in order to get this point. So the Gemara says, "Menelav mikiyar ir v'chutz ha'elav ama." So the Gemara says, "Okay, but as long as we're getting to the destination of Ar Levim, so it's true that as part of the Ar Levim, the exterior of it is 2,000 amos, but there's an area just interior of that of 1,000 amos." So the Gemara says, "So rather connecting it to 2,000, why don't we connect it to 1,000?" So dan nechutz mechutz and dan nechutz mechutza. So the Gemara says, as gzeirah shavah is concerned, it's a better match to 2,000 amos because when the Torah describes the 2,000 amos of the Ari Levim, it says umadusam michutz. And going back to the previous step of the gzeirah shavah, the word that was used was chutz, as opposed to the 1,000 amma interior area of the Ari Levim, where there it says the word chutza. Same verb, just slightly different formulation, conjugation. So in my Nafkamin, the Gemara says, okay, but making a gzeirah shavah, the words don't have to be a perfect match. We know this, the Gemara quotes over here, the oft-quoted source that gzeirah shavahs don't have to be a perfect match. Hatan debe Rebbe Shema v'shavakonu v'al kohen, zui shiva, zui bia. So we have a gzeirah shavah, it's not the same word, but it means the same thing. The kohen returns. V'shav and ba, both describing the kohen's return. This is talking about nigei habatim, when your house has saras, so the kohen is going to be waiting a week, and there is going to be two one-week periods in which the Kohen is going to be returning, and the halachas between those 2 weeks are going to match one another based on this gzeirah shavah. Generally speaking, when quoting the source that teaches us that gzeirah shavah does not have to be the same, so generally speaking, we say, oh, you know, the gzeirah shavah that has to do with the tzaras that applies to a house, and then we just leave it. I'm going to do the same thing over here. I'm just going to leave it. However, if you want a full explanation of how exactly this gzeirah shavah works, so Rashi right here in Adaf Erev and Nun Aleph really spends the time to go over every detail regarding how this particular gzeirah shavah works and what it's there to come to teach us. Anyway, but I'm going to just highlight the Rashi, point to it. But anyway, the point of this brisa is to teach us that gzeirah shavahs do not have to be a perfect match. Nearly every single time the Gemara quotes this numerous times throughout Shas. Every single time the Gemara does so, the Gemara, not every single time, I didn't in fact check myself, but most every single time, the Gemara ends up saying what it's going to say right over here. Yes, it's true. Gzeirah shavahs can be made with words that are not identical. In fact, it doesn't even have to be the same word, it just simply has to have the same meaning. That's true. However, if there are options, and there's a word that's a better match, so better to make the gzeirah shavah with a better match than something which is not as good a match. Over here, we have a chance to connect it to either the word chutz or chutza, since chutz is identical, so therefore it's better to go with the word chutz, yielding a distance of 2,000 amos, not 1,000 amos. Ad kan. Okay, so as I already pointed out, we just have an intricate gzeirah shavah to extract the halachas of tchum. So number one, tchum is a din derabbanan, according to a majority position. Our Gemara over here could be understood as an asmachta, as we already pointed out. And point number two is that, and every time this discussion comes up in terms of gzeirah shavah, so the Gemara over here is basically allowing for some flexibility regarding gzeirah shavah. Why did you go this way? Why don't you go that way? And meanwhile, we know that gzeirah shavah is one of the yud gimel midos that a person cannot innovate. Gzeirah shavah can only come as a mesorah, as a tradition. So whenever we see these types of Gemaras where the Gemara is looking for a better option gzeirah shavah, so it begs the next question, which is, if this is something which you can only state as a Masorah, how can the Gemara even entertain the idea that a gzeirah shavah can go to a different source? Okay, and that's another general question which also needs clarification. So in this short piece of Gemara, there are two really outstanding questions which I'm just raising, not addressing. It's the daf. That's what's going to happen. But anyway, but the number one, it's a din derabbanan. Why are we looking for a source in the Torah? And number two, gzeirah shavahs in general are rigid, and the Gemara over here is treating it as if it's something which could be flexible. Apai mama agulos. We're continuing now in the Gemara. We're up to that now. The discussion regarding how to create the perimeter around you, the tchum around you. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna says, make a radius and just simply draw that radius around you, obviously resulting in a circle. So Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna's manavshach. E ishlek zereshava peos ksivan. So the Gemara says, now Rabbi Chanina ben Antigna, what was his source? If his source is what we just learned regarding the Ari Levim, so we know the Ari Levim are squared. So we know that. So then, if that's true, so then he should arrive at the conclusion that it should be squared. Now, now, if he doesn't hold the Gzera Shava, and that's why he arrives at a circle, that's fine, but where did he get the number 2,000 Amas? The only way we got to the number 2,000 Amas was based on the Gzera Shavas getting us to the Ari Levim. And if he's not subscribing to that Gzera Shava, so where did he get the number from? So, Lolam Isla Gzera Shava, Vishani Hacha, Damakar, Ziyalahem, Migrashay Ha'arim. So, Rabbi Chanim and Antigas does, in fact, subscribe to the Gzera Shava. But it happens to be that if the, you look at the pasuk describing the Ari Levim, it says Ze Yelahem, meaning this configuration will be done in this way, and that's going to be unique. This is an anomaly. Leze Atanosim Peos, Yatanosim Peos for Shofti Shabbos. Here is where you're going to do corners, meaning by the Ari Levim, but Shofti Shabbos for the Tchum Shabbos, it's not going to be corners. V'Rabbanan Tani Rabbi Chanina Amar Keze Yukol Shofti Shabbos. Now the Chachamim obviously disagree. And they can't disagree with the pasuk. The pasuk says ze. So what are they going to say? Ze over here is to be understood as kaze, like this. Meaning they're understanding that the Torah is creating a precedent. This is how we're going to be doing it in general. Amar of Acha bar Yaakov ha-ma'avir da'amas b'rishus rabim enu chayev ha-shema'avir hein va'alach sonan. The Gemara over here, tucked away in the middle of Erevin, has a really interesting discussion regarding Dalai Amos. We discussed Dala Amos extensively, carrying something Dala Amos and Rishus HaRabim. This goes back to Shabbos, where we discussed it in great detail, mostly in the 11th Perek, but we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, and generally speaking, carrying was a big topic altogether in Masechta Shabbos. Okay, but the Gemara over here now is going to add a small addendum, which quite frankly, literally changes the dimensions of Dala Amos. So Rav Acha bar Yaakov is quoted saying that someone who takes an item and traverses and carries it, not traverse, this is now carrying, and carries it four amos and Rishus Rabim is only going to be chayav when he carries it not four amos, but rather the diagonal. Meaning what we're going to do is we're going to draw a box 4x4. We're going to take the its diagonal going across. So it's the hypotenuse of a triangle, with sides being four. And so that's going to be 4 times 1.4. So it'll be approximately 5.6. Okay. So the approximately 5.6 in terms of the hypotenuse. Okay. That's the number that Rashi yields. Okay. And mathematically, it's about that number. So anyway, so that in of itself is interesting. First of all, this statement is not mentioned at all. Masechta Shabbos over. The many times that we talked about carrying more than four amos. So over here now we introduce the idea of alach sonan, that in order to be chayv, you're going to have to be carrying it along the diagonal. And what begs explanation, and Tosus over here discusses this, debates this issue, is that when we're talking about the diagonal, does that mean that we're always going to be converting four amos into its diagonal? It's always going to be 5.6? Or are we talking about the diagonal on the map, meaning that if I'm carrying something in the northeast direction or northwest direction, there we go on the diagonal, meaning similar to the discussion we're having regarding Trum, meaning for Trum Shabbos, so we say that we're gonna square out the circle. What does that mean, we're squaring out the circle? It means that in the northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest, so you're going to gain corners, but going due north, it's going to be 2,000 Amos, and going due east, it's going to be 2,000 Amos. Are we saying the same thing regarding Dala Amos? Meaning if I carry something due east, it's going to be four Amos. It's only when I go northeast or northwest am I going to be doing the conversion to 5.6. Okay, so that was just a lot to take in, and we just scratched the surface. In other words, that discussion is occurring in Tosus on our Amud. Anyway, Amar of Papa Badik Lan Rava. Amud Bereshus Ram Gavol Yud Barachav Dalat Sarachin V'Achzanan Olo. So the following test was given to us by Rava, and that is that when I have a pillar in Rishus HaRabim that's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, 4x4, so do I need hein v'alach sonan? Do I need the diagonal as well? So v'amin alei lav hainu de Rav Chananya de Tanya Rav Chananya omer kezeyu kol shofti Shabbos. And he says that's the brisa, meaning that the Ari Levim is going to be a model, and it's always going to be following the model of the Ari Levim. Which means to say that it's not going to be its own independent rishus, unless you have the corners as well. Meaning, so it's got to be 4x4, and it's not 4 in terms of diameter. It's 4x4 box, which means that I need a diagonal going across of 5.6. In other words, what we, you and I understand to be a square of 4x4, and a diameter of 4x4, meaning the diameter cuts across 4, but you don't have the corners, that is not going to be a Rishus HaYachid. Okay, so the Gemara just treated us to the significance of the corners, and the Gemara over here tucked away right in the middle of Heruvin also extended for us the Dala Amos as being 5.6, but even after having learned the Gemara over here, we don't have full clarity. Is that true all the time, or is that only when going within certain directions? We're continuing in the Gemara. We're at the bottom of the Amud. One more sugya for this morning. And now, what I did in the beginning of today, so now it's much more relevant, and that is a better understanding of the Mishnah. If you look at the end of the Mishnah, so again, I'm going to do the same thing. It's really critical just to understand the upcoming Gemara. And take a look at the end of the Mishnah, or the second half of the Mishnah, where after the Mishnah describes the person forwarding his Makom Shvisa, the Gemara goes on to describe who can use such a tactic. Look at the second half of the Mishnah. I'm just going to go over it again because the language of the Mishnah becomes really critical and the structure of the Mishnah becomes very critical. So let's just familiarize ourselves with it. So the Mishnah goes on to say, Imeinu makir, Oshena bakir behalacha, back in the Mishnah on Mentesimid Beis. A person does not know a landmark coming up ahead, or he's just simply unfamiliar with this halacha. And he says, Shvisasi bimkomi. Okay, so make a mental note now. He's saying that my shvisa should be where I'm currently standing. So, Zachlama koma apayim, amalachol ruach, agulos dibre bichanimene, tegnos vechacham emomrim, merubaz ketavim baraz, kedesh shirei niskar lezavios. Okay, so I know I read that quickly, but basically, he now has a makom shvisa underneath him. How to measure it, circular or square? Good, machlokas. We just went over it. Then the Mishnah reads as follows. Vizuhi sha'amru ha'ani ma'ari beraglav. It's in this case where we say that a person can make an Erev Tchum by establishing a Makom Shvisa in doing so with his legs. Now, at this point in time, who is speaking over here? It's not clear. The Mishnah does not give us attribution as to who the speaker of the statement is. It's in this case. And when we say this case, we're going to ask a second question. What case are we talking about? Up until now in the Mishnah, we really had two scenarios. One, where a person forwarded his Makom Shvisa. Two, where a person didn't forward it, either for lack of education or simply because of lack of knowledge of the terrain, and he said, Shvisa si bimkomi. And then the Mishnah says, Zuhi sha'amru. So question number one, who's the speaker? Question number two, which case of the Mishnah is it going on? Okay, now you see, right, we all see the problem, and the Gemara is going to be discussing it for the entirety of the Amud Beis. And then, I'm still reviewing the Mishnah, Amar Rav Meir Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani. Rav Meir says that this is only true for a poor person. Rav Yehuda Amar Echad Ani Vechad Ashir Lo Amaru Marv Mepasa Lahaka La Ashir Shelo Yetze V'Yarei V'Raglav. And then we have the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And Rav Meir certainly can say the following about Rav Meir, and that is he's limiting. He says that the only one that can make an Erev Tchum with his legs is only going to be the Ani. Rav Yehuda says, what are you talking about? Everyone can make an Erev Tchum with their legs. It's the idea of making Erev Tchum with food. That's a special dispensation that's given by the Chachamim to an Asher so he's not inconvenienced. He simply now can go out. Instead of going out, he could just simply send two meals worth of food out there to that place in order to establish a Makom Shvisa. Okay, so the end of the Mishnah has a little bit of ambiguity, and the Gemara now is going to seek to clarify that ambiguity. We quote the heading of the Mishnah Vezesh Amar Ani Ma'ar Beraglav Amar Rav Meir Anu Ein Lanu Ela Ani V'Chulei Amar Rav Nachman. Okay, so we start now with the opinion of Rav Nachman. Last line on Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. Machlokes Bimkomi. The debate in the Mishnah between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda is talking about where a person is desiring to make a Makom Shvisa underneath where he is, meaning he wants to establish his Makom Shvisa on the place where he's standing. Rameir Savar Ikar Erev Bepas. Rameir is of the position that in terms of making Erev, principally it should be done with food. The institution of making a new Erev Tchom is to be done with food. And anihu de akil rabban ilave. And so the idea that you're making it with your legs, so that is a dispensation only given now to the poor person. Aval ashir lo. But if somebody is wealthy, so then no. In other words, he can't do it with his legs, but rather he can do it and only can do it with food. Ikan de shitas Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir comes out according to Rav Nachman. There are going to be two viewpoints of the machlokas Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. This is going to be a classic setup in which we have a machlokas Tanayim, and then subsequently a machlokas Amarayim, how to understand the machlokas Tanayim. So within Shitas Rav Nachman, which we're doing right now, according to Rav Meir, so principally a person should be making an Erev with food. And the idea of making an Erev with your legs, meaning by being in that location, so that is not the primary way to make an Erev. It's an exceptional way to do so, and it's only an exception that's extended to the Ani. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, continuing now on the Amud Beis, this is all still Rabbi Nachman. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Yikar Erev Beregel. So Echad Ani Vechad Asher, and Rabbi Yehuda fundamentally disagrees. He says that the Ikar Erev is to be done with your legs, and if I can add, it's Mestaber, meaning you're creating a new Makam Shisa. What better way to create a new Makam Shisa than to physically be in that place? Anyway, so Rabbi Yehuda says that the Ikar Erev is done with your legs, and that's true for both somebody who's poor, somebody who's wealthy. Aval b'makom ploni, divrei alkol ani in asher lo. However, if what you're going to do is you want to forward your makom shlisa like we described in the Mishnah, so that case is exceptional. To do that, to move ahead your makom shlisa to a place in which you're going to arrive at, and as we learned in the beginning of today's daf, that means to say that you're going to get there by ben hashmashos if you were to run quickly. But to do that kind of maneuver, so that's something which is exceptional and that was only afforded to the ani. Ani over here, by the way, could just simply mean that he's traveling, and he simply now is in a tight situation. So, echad asher aval b'makom ploni divrei alkol ani inish asher lo. Okay, now all this is the way Rav Nachman sets up the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. What comes out now is really a fundamental debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, as explained by Rav Nachman, in terms of the ikar eruv. Is the ikar eruv bipas, that's Rav Meir, or is the ikar eruv biregel, that's Rav Yehuda? Now we move on to the next part of the Mishnah. Vizui sha'amru. And then when the Mishnah made the statement of, and this is where we said, so man ketanila. So again, remember, two questions. Who's speaking, and what cases are going on? So according to Rav Nachman, so the speaker is going to be Rav Meir. Fine, v'ahayakai. And on which cases are going on? So, a'ino makir, o'sheinu baki v'halacha. It's talking about somebody who does not recognize the landscape, or somebody who's unfamiliar with the halacha. Meaning, he's forwarding his Erev, he's moving his Erev forward. And in that case, it's going to be significantly limited under those circumstances. V'lo amru ma'arven v'pasa l'alahakel. And when the Mishnah concludes by saying, and the only reason why you're going to make Erev with bread is only as a leniency, so that means to say that that last line over there is reflecting whose position, man ketanila Rabbi Yehuda. That's all going to be Shitas Rabbi Yehuda according to Rav Nachman. Okay, so we have now explained our Mishnah structurally, according to Rav Nachman. Comes out now that according to Rav Nachman, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are having a fundamental debate in terms of what Ikar Erev is. According to Rabbi Meir, Ikar Erev is with bread. Making an Erev with your legs, that is a special dispensation that's only given to the Ani. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, Ikar Erev is done with your feet. And the idea that you can make an Erev with bread, that's a dispensation that's given to the wealthy person, so that he does not have to be inconvenienced. Okay. And then a question of how to read the Mishnah based on this basic understanding of Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. That's all according to Shitas Rav Nachman. Rav Yechista Amar, we're back now in the Gemara Nun Aleph Amud Beis. And now we're going to go over the other side of this discussion. That's Rav Chista. Rav Chista Amar Machlokes B'Makom Ploni. The debate between Rav Meir and Rav Chista is talking about where a person is forwarding his Makom Shvisa. Rav Meir Savar Ani in Asher Lo. Rav Meir says this idea of forwarding your Makom Shvisa, moving it ahead to where you are currently, so that is only extended to the Ani. It's such an exceptional idea. This exception is only made for somebody who's poor, not for somebody who's wealthy. Somebody who's wealthy, I cannot use this maneuver. And Rabbi Yehuda Sever, Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, and Rabbi Yehuda says no, that this ability to move your Erev ahead forward where you are, so that's extended to everybody. Aval bimkomi, divrei alkol Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, di'ikar Erev b'regel. However, if you want to establish your Erev where you currently are, everybody agrees you could do it with your legs, and it doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or whether you're poor, because according to Rav Chista, everybody in the Mishnah, both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, say that fundamentally the Erev could be done with your legs, and the only time Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda are debating is regarding the person who wants to forward his Erev ahead of where he is. And now, with this stated, so first of all, you could see already the major difference between Rav Chista and Rav Nachman. According to Rav Chista, everyone agrees that for a person making an Erev where he is currently residing, where he currently is, that is something that's fundamental that everybody agrees to. Both Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda agreed to the idea that Iker Erev is Beregel. Now, and Rav Nachman said, no, this is going to be the fundamental divide between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Now, according to Rav Chista, how are you going to fill in the blanks in the Mishnah? So, Vizui Sha'amra Man Ketanila Rav Meir. So, Vizui Sha'amra, where the Mishnah then now says, you can only do this. So, first of all, who's speaking? Rav Meir. V'hayakaya ha'mai shababa derech v'chashcha. And in terms of what it's describing somebody who is walking home, meaning he is forwarding his Eruv, his Makom Shvisa. And there you have the Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. But for the person making an Eruv underneath him, so everyone agrees, you could be wealthy, you could be poor. V'lo amr ma'avna b'pasel alahaka manketani la divrei hako. Now when the Mishnah then goes on to say that everyone can be ma'arid beregel, I just gave away the answer, that you can be ma'arid beregel, and bread is only for a dispensation that's given to the wealthy, so who's subscribing to that viewpoint? Divrei hako. That's everybody according to Rav Chista. Okay, so I know there's a lot to hold on to over there. Machlokes between Rav Chista and Rav Nachman in terms of outlining the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Now, Tanya Kavasa to Rav Nachman, the Gemara is going to quote a brisa that is going to be supportive of Rav Nachman's viewpoint. Echanani v'echad Asher, the Gemara quotes this brisa. Both a wealthy person, let me go in order. A poor person and a wealthy person, ma'arvin bepas, can make an erev with bread. V'lo yasei Asher chutz l'tchom v'yomer shisasi bimkomi. Lefishlo amru ma'arvin beregel ella lemisha shababaderech v'chashcha divrei Rabbi Meir. And as far as the wealthy person is concerned, a wealthy person should not go head outside of tchum. And he says shvisasi bimkomi, that my shvisa is going to be in my location, because the idea of being ma'arvin beregel is only for somebody who is on his way home. According to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Echanani v'Echad Asher Ma'arvin Beregel. No, according to Rabbi Yehuda, both a wealthy person and a poor person can be Ma'arvin Beregel. The Yetzer Asher Chutz L'Tchum V'Yomer Teishvisa Sibim Kami, and a wealthy person can head out and he can say that the Shvisa is going to be where I'm standing. V'Zui Ikar Shal Eruv, and that's the Ikar HaEruv. V'Tir Chacham and Leval Abayis L'Shalech Eruvo B'Yad Avdo B'Yad Beno B'Yad Shlucho. Now a dispensation is given by the Chachamim for a Baal Abayis to send out his Eruv with his servant, with his son, with the shliach, b'shvil lahakel alav, as a special dispensation that's given to the asher. So over here in this brisa, what we have is a fundamental debate in terms of whether or not the eruv can be done beregel. According to Rabbi Meir, an eruv cannot be done beregel. It should not be done with regel. It's only something that's special given to the ani. According to Rabbi Yehuda, what are you talking about? Being ma'ariv beregel? That's something that is. That's fundamental. Everyone's ma'ariv beregel, a nani and an usher. And as far as the usher is concerned, not only can you be ma'ariv beregel, but assuming that you have an extra meal, he's an usher. He does. So that means to say you could be ma'ariv also with that meal as well. You could be ma'ariv with food. Am Rav Yehuda ma'isa ba'anche beis mamal ba'anche beis gurion be'aroma. And Rav Yehuda here goes on to tell the story about people in mamal and people in beis gurion. They were handing out dried raisins, dried dates in years of famine. And people would be coming from towns, poor people would be coming from towns of Shechin and Chananya. And they would on Shabbos go to the limits of where they can go. And Lamachros Mashkim on Vayim, so that the next day they could be in a position where they can come and they could be the recipients. Okay, we'll discuss more of this tomorrow in terms of what exactly is seen from the story, what exactly we gain from the story. But anyway, let's quickly recap our daf. We're going to pause over here and tomorrow we're going to pick it up. We start off this morning by this idea of forwarding your Erev. You are 4,000 amos away from your home, and you can move your Eruv 2,000 Amos ahead, assuming that you are familiar with the terrain and there is a specific landmark in which you can move your Eruv. The first thing we discussed this morning was the Halacha of Rava. This only works where if you were to sprint, you could have gotten to that location before Bein HaShemashos. Otherwise, you cannot forward your Eruv. Okay. Number two, a story with Rav and Rav Yosef, where this actually occurred to the two of them. Rav and Rav Yosef were walking home. They weren't going to make it home. A landmark in which they wanted to forward their Eruv to. Rav Yosef was just simply not familiar with the terrain. Rabbi says to him, Smoch alai, rely on me. I know the terrain and I know the landmark ahead. And give me your rights to go ahead and forward. And he forwarded both the Makom Shvisa of the two of them. Okay, and then an interesting aside is that when he quoted the Braisa, he added Rav Yossi's name in order to provide weight to the Braisa, which, as we pointed out, difficult to understand how you could do that. The Gemara's next discussion they had this morning was regarding sourcing the 2,000 Amos. This idea that a person cannot go beyond 2,000 Amos, where does that number come from? Hechem Tziva. The Gemara has a Gzera Shava, six stops in the Gzera Shava, connecting the Pasuk Shu Ishtachtav, Al Yetzei Ish Mim Komo, by the Parshas Beshalach, by the collecting of the man on Shabbos, the idea that you cannot go more than outside your Makom, and through a series of Gzera Shavas, three connections, six words altogether. So we got to the Ari Miklat, and there it says, Umadusam Michutz La'iris Pas Kedma Apayim Ama. So there, the exterior of the Ari Levim is 2,000 Amas. The Gemara says, in terms of Gzera Shavas, there's a Gzera Shava that could have gone another direction. The Gemara says, yeah, but this is a better Gzera Shava, it's a better fit. And we addressed the basic issues of, number one, making a Gzera Shava towards what seems to be a Din D'Rabbanan. Number two, the seemingly flexible nature of a Gzera Shava, where the Gemara elsewhere says that there is no flexible nature to a Gzera Shava. We then went on to discuss the Shita Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos in terms of how he comes to the understanding that the Tchum is going to be a circle, not a square. The Chachamim who followed the Ari Migrash, so for them the square was obvious, because that the Ari Migrash is squared. How does Rabbi Chanina ben Antignos not arrive at that conclusion? The Gemara discussed. The Gemara talked about the Dal Amos that a person carries on Shabbos in order to be Chayev. The Gemara says it's actually not Dal Amos, but rather the diagonal. Meaning, if I square the Dal Amos and run the diagonal from corner to corner, so that's going to get me to 5.6, that actually is the amount that a person has to traverse in order to be Chayev on Shabbos. Now, I just simply pointed our attention to Tosos on the Amud Aleph, the only Tosos there, who discusses, is this true in any direction, or is it just true in the northeast, northwest, southeast, southwest direction? The Gemara continued. The Gemara said that the Mishnah, which has a machlokes between Rameh and Rav Yehuda, so what exactly is the nature of the debate between Rameh and Rav Yehuda? Two approaches amongst the Amoraim, Rav Nachman and Rav Chista. Rav Nachman says that the machlokes between Rameh and Rav Yehuda is actually a fundamental machlokes regarding how a person makes an Eruv. According to Rav Meir, a person makes an Eruv with bread, fundamentally. And that means to say, to make an Eruv with your legs, meaning being in that location, is a secondary way, but not the primary way, and it's only afforded to the Ani, not to the Asher. And Rav Yehuda says no, that fundamentally the Eruv is to be done with your legs, and the idea of making an Eruv with food, so that's something that is a perk that's given to the Asher, who's got the extra food, and instead of having to walk to that location, he's given the opportunity to just simply move his food, send his food to that location. That is all Rav Nachman's understanding, and then based on that understanding, how to plug all that back into the Mishnah. Rav Chisda, on the other hand, said no. Everybody agrees that Iker Eruv is Beregel, that fundamentally you make your Eruv with your feet. That is a tenet that's agreed to both by Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And as far as the debate that takes place in the Mishnah, that's only a debate in terms of forwarding your Makom Shvisa, which was discussed in the beginning of the Mishnah. That's the debate between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Is that something that is extended to the Ani, or can it be done both by the Ani and the Asher? But, according to Rav Chista, everyone's in agreement that Iker Eruv is Berego. Okay, and then we quoted a Braisa, and the Braisa is seemingly very supportive of the position of Rav Nachman. We'll stop over here.